Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Radio, Kiwi and BP.
I'm hearing your radio, or your iPhone, or your Android. One of those devices could be a computer. I don't know.
And then pretty soon he's going to go Australian.
He kind of started there. Today we're going to be playing Santa Monica, as you could guess by the themed radio voice. It is designed by me too, Josh Wood of Cat Lady. Yay, Josh Wood.
Yay.
It is developed by Scott Eaton of Codenames Duet, another great game, and John Goodenough, which is a very unfortunate name.
I mean, he's good enough. It doesn't matter.
John, that guy's great. Well... and he worked on Final Days of an Empire and Tide of Iron. The artists are Bridget Indelicato of War Chest, Jeremy Guyon, and Josh Wood of Cat Lady.
It's Wynn.
Jeremy Wynn. And it's published by AEG. In Santa Monica, you're trying to create the most appealing neighborhood in Southern California. Will you choose to create a calm, quiet beach focused on nature, or a bustling beach full of tourists, or something in between to appeal to the locals? Each turn, you draft a feature card from the display to build up either your beach or your street. These features work together to score you victory points. The player with the most points wins. The mechanics are card drafting and set collection. The box art is kind of similar in the Cat Lady style, sort of a cartoony, I guess, is a way to describe it, but very colorful, vibrant kind of colors.
A watercolory.
It's got that kind of 1950s like beach coloration to it, where it's like that teal versus like, you know, just a blue and kind of like that, not super hot pink, but you know, kind of a fuchsia pinkish kind of thing going on.
Looks like it could be a neon sign.
Yeah, I was about to say, it kind of reminds me of like an 80s, like I was thinking Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, where it had like that 80s beach type theme to it. That's what the lettering reminds me of. Mm. Not the rest of the art. The rest of the art is definitely not Grand Theft Auto.
Those birds are up to something. So it's overlooking the pier with a little Ferris wheel and roller coaster on it, and
the famous Santa Monica Pier.
A lot of pigeons or seagulls, probably seagulls. You know, whatever.
probably more likely it's seagulls.
One pest bird or the other, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So based on this, would you pull it off a shelf?
Josh Wood, yes.
Well, not only that, Josh Wood, AEG. Like, we already know we like Josh Wood games. We already know. I don't think we've played an AEG game that we haven't liked.
Yeah, probably one out there, but most of them I think we've enjoyed.
Card drafting, basically not my favorite style, but again, I don't care. Like, again, it's Josh Wood. As you bring up again, AEG usually has some pretty good ones, so I'm down. And who doesn't love the beach? Especially Kiwi doesn't like the beach. So
It's not the beach per se, it's the sand.
Yeah, the sand is the worst part of the beach.
It's the same reason I hate the desert. I hate the desert. I hate the beach. I don't like sand.
It's mostly rocky here in this desert, but
there's sand in the between those rocks, I guarantee you. Or maybe it's tiny, tiny rocks, which is basically sand.
Did you answer it, Kiwi? Would you not pick it up because it's too sandy on the box?
No. So full disclosure, this box is downstairs in the basement.
Okay. So it is purchased already.
And I purchased it for the same reasons I would pick it up. Josh Wood and AEG.
All right.
So that and a lot of people saying that they really love it.
It does jump out. I think not only just because of the name recognition, I think if I just saw this on the shelf, I'd be like, that's pretty. Let me look at this one. So how do we think it's played? We do not have a lot of information to go off of.
Well, we're building neighborhoods. And we're card drafting.
Beach. Now, because I said neighborhood at the start, but then it talked more about building a beach.
Well, I mean, it's Southern California. What do you think about when you think of Southern California? You think about the coast.
Traffic.
I was also going to say traffic.
You know, and all the times I visited you there, I don't think I ever went to the beach. So, all right. So I think we're probably going to be building a beach with like a pier. I feel like you got to be building a pier, right? plus probably a neighborhood back off of it.
It says you could build a beach focused on nature. So, I mean, you could do like a park reserve.
Yeah, so like a park beach, a pier beach, probably for more touristy stuff.
So do we lay this down kind of like, I mean, this isn't tile placement. Like,
yeah, but it could be like what's that called? Like tableau building where you're building out like an image.
But wouldn't that say it in the mechanics?
It may not. You know, it's whatever people put on Board Game
Geek. It's BGG. It's whatever people put in, yeah.
Mm. It's not necessarily the publisher mechanic. So it could be built. So we're going to, all right, so we're going to draft some cards, right?
In some.
What do you think do you think it'll be like Cat Lady where it's like a laid out grid, or do you think it'll be like a pass and draft kind of thing?
Well, I like that idea, like Sushi Go and stuff. Oh no, Sushi Go is different. But yeah, so
Cat Sushi Lady Go is a pass.
You pick up like a row, right?
Yeah, Cat Lady is like it's all laid out and you pick it up versus Sushi Go where like I pass my hand to you and you pick a card out of it and then we pass around. I don't think it'll be Cat Lady style, but I hope it'll be a different drafting mechanic is what I hope.
I hope it'll be like Sushi Go. That would be fun.
All right. So then we're going to get a hand of cards and then we're going to play them down and we're going to build an image of some sort of beach layout.
And but then how do we get points? Display, you draft
the features feature work card. Together. Oh,
you draft a feature card. So we need to be building specific types of beaches based on like an objective card.
Yeah, so we might have an objective that says like you want like a tourist beach, and then like you're probably gonna get points for like I'm gonna play a pier next to a Ferris wheel. Then that's gonna like give me double points or something.
Right.
Okay, we got it. So the radio drama history of Please Do It All in Radio Voice, BP.
Okay, so the reason we're talking radio is because when I thought of Santa Monica, like one of the first things that popped into my head is almost like a double history. Bingo.
Double feature.
Yeah. So Kiwi, the nerd that he is, he loves to listen to old timey radio shows. And there was one that came out in the 1940s called Romance of the Rancho. And
Romance of the Ranchos. That's how they announced it.
And it was fantastic. It was done by like this title company in Los Angeles County that basically would go through like the property titles, right? The history of different towns and like then, you know, dramatize that history. And it was called Romance of the Ranchos because, you know, in California, especially as it was part of the Mexican Empire before, right, the whole Mexican-American War, many of the kind of Southern California towns, especially, had started off as these, right, these huge ranchos owned by, right, real elites in Mexico, because California was part of Mexico. And so it reminded me of that because those stories always had this very similar beginning. And they always started off with there were these native tribes. And then, right, the Spanish and the Mexicans moved in and they usually, like, kind of took land from the natives and would either entice the natives to come live on the ranchos with them, right? The whole mission story, or basically just like take the land from them and cause a lot of distress. And so that was like the early part of the story. And then they would have like their 19th century version where, right, kind of post Mexican-American War when California became part of the United States, basically then how the Mexicans would get swindled out of their ranchos by all of these either Americanos or Californios. There were sometimes differences in that would come in and basically either just straight up like scare people off of their land or easily swindle them and like, you know, pay real pennies for like these old timey ranchos that had been around forever. And then they would like quick at the end be like, oh, and then we built these neighborhoods. So that was my radio voice. What do you think?
Yeah. It was always real bad. And then it was just like, and that's how we got Santa Monica.
So Santa Monica's, and I think it's San Pedro, just further to the south, part of their story is interlinked because they were fighting, if I remember correctly, in the 19th century, the late 19th century, for a railroad to come through. Santa Monica got its railroad eventually, and they began building a pier in the late 19th century, and then, you know, started building hotels and things like that, which then features into the story. So by the end of the 19th century, and this kind of goes in with industrialization and how American life began to change, is you start to see also a promotion of leisure. East Coast, you have the Coney Island kind of idea. And then right in California, you'll have a couple of different places that pop up that are kind of similar to that. And of course, Santa Monica being one with its famous pier, which of course would feature some of those very fun things like roller coasters, et cetera. And I'm sure cotton candy. So there you go, Santa Monica.
All right. You guys were actually remarkably close for this one. Yeah. So the game is going to be played over a series of rounds where each player gets to take a turn, obviously. And the final round is going to be triggered when a player places their 14th feature. And the features are the cards. The round will continue until everybody gets the same number of turns, and then the game will be over. And then the player with the most victory points is the winner. The player to go first will be the one who most recently visited a beach.
Oh, I was going to say pier.
I mean, I was at the beach last May. God, that's
define
so long ago.
Beach. Does it require an ocean or can it be a lake beach?
I think we would have to pull up the definition of a beach.
An expanse of sand or pebbles. It does say lake. Part of a shore of an ocean, sea, large river, lake, etc.
Yeah, this just says a beach is a landform alongside a body of water which consists of loose particles.
Okay.
I was at a beach
last night.
Oh,
all right.
Then. I went paddleboarding.
There you go.
Okay, so every game is going to have two random sand dollars, and on these sand dollars are what are called sand dollar actions. And there's actually four in the game, and they're double-sided. And then there's going to be one of three different scoring tiles. I think it's red or pink, blue, and green. And the rulebook recommends that for your first game that you play with the blue one. So we're going to play with the blue scoring tile. The players from in reverse order from the first player will then select their feature tile. So there's eight kind of double tall. They're, you know, if you stack two cards up on top of each other, above each other, that's how you would get it. And that starting tile gives you a specific scoring for your VIP visitor.
Mm. So is that kind of like our objective card kind of thing? Of like that?
Yeah, sort of. So the VIP will score slightly differently than your other visitors.
So we're right. There's an objective.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The last player in turn order will also get to place the food truck.
Ooh, so there will be a food truck. We did not talk about food trucks for some reason.
Yeah. That is also very Southern California.
And then the foodie token will go two columns away from the food truck. On a player's turn, they're gonna do the following actions in order. So the first thing they're gonna do is select and place a feature card. So in the middle of the table, there's gonna be the display, and the display is gonna be eight cards. There's a front row and a back row. So you're gonna be able to choose a card from the front row to be able to place on your beach. And there's two types. So you'll have a beach card, which obviously has the water on it, and then street features, which have the street and kind of the top portion is a beach. So they connect sort of
like a boardwalk kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the back row just shows you what's going to fall in place when we rebuild the display after your turn is done. So you'll know kind of what's coming next for each of those columns. If you take a card or the card from the column with the food truck, you will get a sand dollar, and the sand dollar are essentially currency. And then if you take a card from the column with the foodie, you will get to move one of the visitors that are currently at your beach one space. And if they happen to be together, then you'll get both those you'll get both those things. You'll get the sand dollar and you'll get the get to move a person. So once you've selected, then you're going to place it on your beach. The rules are that the beach cards have to go on your top row, and the street cards have to go on the bottom row of your beach. and they have to be orthogonally touching a recently placed card or your starting tile.
Look at you getting to say orthogonal.
Yeah, exactly. I always try to work it in as many games as I can. And then and you also can't place over previously placed features. So then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to take placement actions. So a lot of the cards will have different placement things on them that you get to do. And so they're either going to give you sand dollars, they're going to add people to your beach, or they're going to let you move people around your beach. So sand dollars and adding people to the card are mandatory. You have to do those. You do not have to move people on your beach. All right. And then once you've done the actions, the placement actions for your card, we're going to refresh the display. So if you've taken a card from the front row, we'll drop the back row down, and then we'll draw a card from the back row or from the deck and put it in the back row. And then it's the next player's turn. Once we've triggered and played that final round, everyone is going to get to move their meeples one time before we do final scoring. So tourists, which are the orange meeples, and the VIP will get to move one space. And the locals, who are blue meeples, will move three spaces. And then whoever has the most points is the winner.
What I really want to say is, let's go to the beach. But I guess, let's play.
The Romance of the Ranchos. Santa Monica, 1840. Rancheros quarrel over pasture land.
We just finished a game of Santa Monica. To recap, BP really loves the beach, and she scored 31 beach points for it. Kiwi was kind of the local marriage place, I guess.
Yeah.
And had 44 beach points. And I won with a lot of shops and tourists with 54 beach points.
So consumerism wins again, but all beach all day.
Yep, that's the moral of the story.
Moral of the story is just pack in people, ruin your beach, and
Let her spend money.
So strategy wise, I guess based on the starting token, I had a VIP that wanted shops and tourism. So I kind of focused on getting those to start with. And it turned out those give you a ton of people. So the first half of the game, I was focused on getting the shops and the tourism. And then the second half of the game, I was trying to find things for the people to do. So I did not have enough circles. I didn't think I was doing well because I had so many people and not enough stuff. And then like one of our objective cards was like, don't have people that don't have things to do. And so I was like, well, that's it for me. But fortunately, that was not a big penalty. And then all the shops and the tourism cards are big on chains. And I just happened to, as I was doing that to start with, had a big old chain of those that kind of won me the game.
I went for cards with sand dollars because I started out like trying to grab people because I knew that that's how you get victory points. But then I slowly, like as I was seeing more cards, there weren't a ton to like be able to move people around.
Yeah, that was rough.
So then I was looking for cards to move people around. We made it through. So there's like 78 cards. We made it through a little bit, have almost a little over halfway through the deck. So we saw about half the cards in the game. And I'm thinking maybe some of the other sand dollar actions like allow you to move a little bit more. But yeah, as soon as I saw that it was hard to move, I tried to stop taking as many cards that gave you people and tried to get cards that moved you or paid for the actions to be able to do those.
I just had so many people, I didn't need to move them because they were everywhere.
I mean, I went for the beach all day. Like I got to pick my card thing first, right? My VIP card thing first. And I went for the one that gave me the waves, the beach. And yeah, I mean, I love the beach. I really do. And
you moved your VIP person around the most, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I did try.
I don't know that gave you as many points as, like, I would say I got a bunch of points from the combos, and Kiwi got them from placing people on circles, I think. And
yeah, that's where most of mine came from.
I think BP went kind of more of actually doing the VIP, focusing on the objective, and it didn't seem to play out as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's also interesting that BP went heavy beach. I went kind of heavy boardwalk, and Eric went, he was very even. between the two.
I started Heavy Boardwalk, and then I was like, shit, I need things for these people to do. And then I was taking, I was taking beach cards just because everything else gave me more people. So it ended up even. I wasn't really trying to be even, but yeah. All right. Theme. What did you think of the theme?
I love the beach. I felt like I was building a beach. I mean, come on. I got the shark card. There's the weddings. Yeah, come on.
I agree with BP. It felt like you were having building up like a beach community. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, this is like, it reminds me of Cat Lady, right? Where the theme is just like, this game could be any theme, I think.
Yeah, you could find other, any kind of building up.
But it does seem really fun to be building your beach. And it's a very different theme, right? I don't think we've played any game that's based on a beach or like building up a beach. It's just like Cat Lady. Like, have we played any game where you're trying to just collect cats?
Yeah.
And no. Feed your cats.
Yeah.
So and like, get them catnip.
It doubles down on like the ridiculousness of like, oh, you're going to collect cats and you're going to put them in costumes. And this one's like,
oh, I forget about the costumes all the time. And you want to give them toys.
Yeah. And then like this one's like, you're going to build a beach community and it's going to be ridiculous. You're going to have like all like the stereotypical beach stuff. And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was cool that like at the end of the game, like the locals get to move further because, you know, obviously they've got, you know, they know the best routes to get to wherever they know where the best places to go. So like thematically, I think it all fit together.
Art, BP.
Love it. Okay. So going to kind of the theme and everything and how it was playing out, like I thought you were going to mention your one card that had the instructions and the sign that we did miss. When you played it, right, it had the sign in the middle of the beach. So it was like no cards to the left. Like there's a lot going on the cards, but it was, again, very clear. So when we get to that rule section, we can talk about that a little bit more. But the cards are cute. There's the one where the bicycle's like half buried in the sand. I mean, the shark has like this shark sign in the background and you just see the fin, you know? There's the...
Yeah. We got the card with the cat lady.
There's a cat lady cat.
Yeah, it's the similar style, and it's so cool looking.
It's whimsical
and fun. Yeah, and what I like is like they don't try to like overdo it. Cat Lady is kind of the same way. There's like a lot of, and some of them are kind of more dense, but like some of the beach cards are just like open space. Hey, here's a seagull and a bike, and here's a sign, and here's.
Well, one of mine is just an empty beach card.
Yeah, just empty beach.
Yeah, and it's like, especially when you end up with like the whole sort of layout, it just sort of looks cool. Like it looks like a big beach.
And I do like some of the cards, like, you know, we had the crappy wedding looking one.
Standard. It's a smaller beach wedding and you got the double beach wedding.
Yeah, but there's one with like just a single like log arch. And the chairs are on the sand. And then we found there's another one that like all the chairs are on a mat. Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it. And then it's like a double pagoda thing. It just, and you got more people for it.
Plus there's the flex gym, right? The like Venice Beach, like.
Oh yeah. The Globo gym.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's more like Venice Gold Beach. Isn't that what it is? No. Or is it Gold Gym? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't go to the gym. Yeah,
clearly, we are gym people. Anyway, art is great. mechanics, Kiwi.
So, I mean, it's a drafting game set collection. I think it all built into the theme the way that you had the two different types of features. Because there were a couple of times where I like drew cards. I was like, oh, I need this. Then I realized like, ah, crap. I just took two street cards and I wanted a street and a beach card. And so I think mechanically it fit into the theme.
The drafting mechanic is similar to Cat Lady, a little different, but it kind of has the same thing. But the difference is there's not like a, you can't pick this one. It's sort of like the foodie and the food truck are moving around, kind of entice you to pick. I really like the way sort of like the placing the cards in like certain orders really played into the scoring system. That made it a little interesting. And then just all the different scoring options. There's a lot to it. I'd say it's a little heavier than Cat Lady. Which we'll just keep comparing to because, you know, it's the other Josh.
Wait, it is Josh one of our game. Favorite games.
Yeah. So it's, you know, so like I'd say it's a little more complex than Cat Lady in terms of like, I don't know that I could pick this up with my family as quickly. I think they're a little bit more like, oh, so this needs to do this. And how does this one work? But it's definitely interesting. There's a lot of options, a lot to think about.
And clearly you can play, like, you know, we all played different strategies, whether one was more viable than the other. Like, I think the scores ended up the way they were just because they ended up the way they were.
Yeah, I think we'd
I'm
have
not
to
sure. Like,
do we'd
played,
some more plays.
We'd have to play a few more times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently we will play a few more times because we own it.
Rules?
So to talk about the rules on the card, like, I mean, apparently we missed that one on the sign, but by and large, I feel like they, I think, Eric, you had even said this in the beginning, oh, these are kind of easy to read, right? Where you, I mean, Kiwi did explain them at the beginning, like, hey, you read these like left to right, top to bottom, here's when you do these actions, but you had also mentioned, like, the cards aren't overcrowded. The instructions, the rules that are on the cards also are not overcomplicated. It was pretty easy. I think we just had to look something up once, and I forget why. But by and large, I think it was pretty clear.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbols on the cards, but like you said, most of them were pretty intuitive. There were a couple mm-hmm. we had to look up. I think, like, is the chain number exact or can you go over?
Right.
There was the, when she referenced the sign thing on my card, there's one, I have the Santa Monica Pier and that no cards can be placed to the left of it. And we completely missed that because there's nothing kind of iconography to indicate that. It's actually just within the art on the sign. And just none of us happened to read that one until I was glancing over the art at the end of the game. So.
Yeah, I think most of the things that we looked up were just the ones that were a little more intense in terms of scoring. Like most of them, like we said, you know, it was very easy to look at it and realize, okay, that's what this means. There were a couple, and all those couple that we had to look up are specifically spelled out in the rule book. The rule book itself is laid out well. It's easy to read. Doesn't really have examples, but I think it doesn't really need a whole lot of examples. There's just enough that it covers what you need to have. So mm-hmm. I think the rule book it's good.
Now, so they do have a good little reference card that shows, like, this is chaining, this is adjacent, this is a sand dollar. So, like, just a quick reference that covers probably most of the questions you would have with the iconography.
And I was just going to say, this is another one of those games where the rules themselves and, like, what you do on a turn are not complex. It's the intricacies of all your cards working together that adds the complexity of this game.
Yeah, like, it's easy to understand, but the puzzle is complex. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Which I think in general, like, we tend to enjoy those kind of games where it's easy to figure out what you have to do in a turn. It's figuring out what you want to do in order to make it all work.
Given that, you know, we play a lot of games, maybe one time. So it's kind of fun that when you can pick it up one or two rounds in and then really enjoy the game versus, like, where a game like Innovation, where, like, you know, you've got to play it like a handful of times to even really get the feel for it. I like games like this where it's just like, hey, on our first playthrough, it's a lot of fun because we picked it up real quick. Even though I know, like, I could play it a whole bunch and have different strategies and do different things.
Mm-hmm.
Player interaction, probably along the lines of Cat Lady or Seven Wonders or any drafting game. There's not a whole lot other than selecting the drafting cards. And even then, I'm not, like, looking at trying to screw people. You might inadvertently take something somebody wants, but.
I think there were enough choices where.
Yeah. So I would say it's
you
pretty
had other choices.
Pretty minimal. There wasn't much I could do to affect you other than try to convince you to take the shark.
which didn't negatively affect me.
I'd say it's not a big player interaction game, but it's kind of like a cat. What do I always say about Cat Lady? We're like, you're laughing because of all the, like, mm-hmm. ridiculousness of it. This is kind of the same way of, like, we're going to have 50 weddings because I picked all the wedding cards. And I have a million people on my beaches wandering around with nothing to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Or which tourists are sacrificing to the shark?
All right. So would you play it again? And or do you regret buying it, I guess?
I would say I do not regret buying it. Well, actually, I'll hold that comment until I hear what BP says.
BP, would you play it again?
I look forward to playing the actual physical version.
I do not regret buying it. Yatta!
Yeah, I'd definitely play it again. Now, the big question is, would you play it over Cat Lady?
No. I mean, as much as I... So, okay, I'm going to need to explain that because I really love the beach. And so I do really enjoy this game and I'm really looking forward to playing it more. But Cat Lady is just, it's so easy and it's so fast, you know? And I think that's one of the appeals of Cat Lady is that you can play it through quickly. And there's a certain appeal to that, right? Whereas this one, it did take a little bit longer. There was a little bit of strategy. There was like me being like, ah, I'm not going to win, but I'm going to build a pretty beach. You know, whereas Cat Lady, it's just, it's so quick and funny and fun. So that is my, I would say that. But I've played Cat Lady like how many dozens and dozens of times because I all have the app as well.
Kiwi, this or Cat Lady?
I think it would depend on how much time we have, right? If we have a lot more time, I might play this. And if we have a lot less time, Cat Lady, for exactly the reasons why BP said, you know, it's a much faster game. It's got a smaller footprint. I feel like this game probably has a much larger footprint. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be limited on where you can play it. Even in Tabletop Simulator, we had to move stuff around so that we could make room for BP's 14 beach cards.
Yeah, I actually don't think it's a fair comparison. I think they're much different games. This is much more puzzly and obviously a longer game versus Cat Lady, which is like a 10-minute game of a little. I mean, there's a good puzzle in there, but it's a little bit less of a focus. You kind of just take what you've got. So I don't think it's actually a fair comparison. So trick question. I would play them both. Cat Lady would be. I actually think Cat Lady would be a really good warm-up game and then play this one. It's like play a couple rounds of Cat Lady. Yeah, like just like, you know, play a couple rounds of Cat Lady, just get laughing and, you know, get the brain moving and then jump into this one as kind of like the longer, little bit more of a puzzle to figure out kind of game. So good combo game, actually.
Mm.
Would be a fun game night. You need then he needs like the more complex strategy game to like top it off, like a good, like, you know, hour and a half, like really focused game. And then you could have a whole Josh Wood game night.
Yeah. I mean, you could play Ecos because like, he help with Ecos.
Yeah. It's like Ecos. I haven't gotten to play yet, but
yeah, he helped with that one. He also helped with Tiny Towns too.
I think most AEG team, like everyone, there's like a head designer and then everyone sort of jumps in on the development of it.
So if you have any recommendations of games you would like to hear our impressions on, please send them our way. You can do that via the email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or hit us up on the Twitter and Instagram at firstturncast. And I feel like that was just the more romance of the ranchos. I can't do a radio voice, but the podcasting radio camel says... Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. Play more games.
It says for lease, and then it's like a, what is it? Love Birds. It's a souvenir shop.
Or is it, what were the hotels in Japan?
I don't think it's a love motel.
Which this foodie would do.
I'll take the shark.
Which when you said that, all I could think of, let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies.
What era do you live in?
Hello, 1930s? We want your clothes, your words, and your shitty airplane back. And oh yeah, watch out for that Adolf Hitler. He's a bad egg.